So this morning, you're going to hear two different stories. One is a story about a couple of men, and one is a story from the Bible. And I'm going to start by telling you the story about a couple of men. So there's a man who's going on a business trip. He goes to the airport, but he's a little bit early getting to the airport. So he thinks, nobody knows, I'm going to have an extra large, extra hot mocha coffee with cream on the top. And I'm going to have a bag, a whole bag of those little small donuts. You know the ones where you can put the whole donut in your mouth in one go if no one's looking? Do you know the ones I mean? Sometimes I have a bit of icing on the top. So he goes, he gets his coffee, gets his bag of donuts. He looks around and it's about as packed as this. And he thinks there's nowhere to sit. And then right at the back down there, like where you are, David, he sees a table with one empty chair and a man sitting at the table. So he thinks, well, that's okay. He looks nice enough. I'll go and sit with him. So he goes over to the chair, pulls out the chair, takes his coat off, hangs it on the back of the chair, puts his bag down, puts his donuts down, puts his coffee on the table, sits down in the chair, relaxes. No one's going to know that he's got cream on the top of his coffee. Nobody knows him. Takes a sip of his coffee, opens the bag of donuts, takes out a donut, puts the whole thing in his mouth in one go, eats it up, screws up the top of the paper bag, just pushes it slightly away from him, enjoys the taste of guilt-free sugar. The man on the other side of the table reaches across, takes the bag of donuts, opens it up, takes out a donut, puts it in his mouth, does up the lid, pushes the bag back into the middle of the table. The first man thinks, hang on a minute, what just happened there? He just ate one of my donuts. But he's a polite man. He doesn't want to make a scene amongst all these people. And he's a bit nervous that if he confronts the man, he might be aggressive, but he gives him a really filthy look like that. Really filthy look. He thinks, well, I'll let it go. Has another sip of his coffee. Opens the bag of donuts, puts another one in, whole donut, delicious, screws up the top of the bag. This time he pulls the bag of donuts just a bit closer to himself, for protection, you understand. The other man reaches all the way across the table, like Mr. Tickle, gets the bag of donuts, opens it up, takes one out, pops it in his mouth, eats it, smiles nicely at the man. Does up the lid of the bag, pushes it all the way back over to the first man, who by now is slightly beside himself, as I would be, because I like donuts. He cannot believe what has happened. He is in the presence of an infamous donut thief, and this is too much. The other man obviously decides that two donuts isn't enough. He takes the bag for a third time. By now, there's only one donut left in the bag. He opens the bag, he takes the one donut out, he breaks it in half. He puts half in his mouth, the other half back in the bag, screws up the lid, pushes the bag back to the man. Unbelievable. And then he stands up, gets his belongings, smiles, waves, and off he goes. The guy's thinking, well, I'm not eating that half. There's no way I'm eating that half. The infamous donut thief has probably got all kinds of germs. There is no way that I am going to eat that donut. He looks at his watch and thinks, I should really be going myself. So he stands up, puts his coat on, reaches down to get his bag, and there on the top of his briefcase is his bag of donuts. The other man had not been stealing, he'd been sharing. More about that later.
Liz, thank you. I'm not sure I would have been gracious if I thought someone was stealing my donuts either. We're going to have another story now. This is a story that you can decide whether the man was generous or not. Have a look and see what you think.
The field of a rich man. Alf gave much grain. Did he? Obviously not. It was God.
You think?
So now, what will you do with your newfound wealth? Your workers could really use a bonus and...
What will I do? I don't have enough room in my old barn to store all my grain.
Exactly. You know, there are many needy in the area who would really appreciate...
I know what I'll do.
Yes?
I'll tear down my old barn and build bigger ones.
Okay.
Ah, now I have all my grain and goods stored up in my new barns.
The rich man said to himself,
My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.
But God said,
You are a fool.
Huh?
You will die this very night. Then you will get everything you worked for.
Life, Jesus says, is more than things. It doesn't really matter how few or how many things you have. What really counts is love and joy and true happiness in your heart. And the greatest of all riches, the most valuable thing in the world that you can possibly have, is Jesus.
So earlier on, I told you a little story about donuts. Of course, it wasn't only about donuts. It was about being generous. And it was about God's generosity to us. The man thought that he had met an infamous donut thief, but actually he had come across real generosity, as the second man didn't say a word about the fact that they were his miniature, multicoloured, iced mini donuts. And I wonder how many of you would be prepared to share your donuts in the way that that man did. I might not. And then in the Bible story, God's generosity meant that that man had so much grain that he had to build bigger and bigger barns to store it all. But the man had no idea that he only had everything that he had because of God's generosity. He didn't thank God, and he certainly didn't share anything. All he could think of was building bigger and bigger barns to store everything that he had and keep it very close to his chest for himself. And then God said something really, really difficult to him, didn't he? He said, You're a fool, and you're going to die tonight, and all of that stuff that you have stored up and tried to keep just for yourself, what's going to happen to it then? Who's going to have it? All that I have blessed you with, all that I have given you, is just going to be in that barn. And what good is that to anybody? I think harvest is a time for sharing our bumper crop. And maybe some of us don't feel like we have a bumper crop. But whether what we have is enormous and would fill many, many barns, or whether what we have is much more modest, I think we still have stuff that we can share. It might not be from the field. Not many of us, I'm guessing, have access to stuff straight from the field. But it might be from our kitchen cupboard, and hopefully not from the very back from 2010. But it also might be from our wardrobe, or from our toy cupboard, or our bookshelf, or our wallet. Perhaps the most difficult thing of all. And the challenge for us is to be generous every day and not just at harvest time. I'm reminded at the moment that it's harvest because I live very close to a field, and at the moment they are muck spreading like mad. And every time I go out my front door or get out of my car, I breathe in the smell of the countryside. My dad would say it puts hairs on your chest. And it reminds me that it is harvest time, and a time to be generous, but as I say, not just for this season. And maybe we complain a little bit about God's call for us to share and be generous. Perhaps we only want to give the tin from the back of the cupboard. But actually, I think we need, and I'm talking to myself here as well, I have a wardrobe with more clothes in it than I could ever wear. We need to acknowledge that everything that we have, whether that's a huge amount or a modest amount, comes from God. And also, the man in the Bible story learnt a hard lesson, didn't he? That actually we can't take any of it with us into heaven. And I've been in a prayer space this week at a local primary school, and we were talking to the really little children about what they could share at this time of year. And a little girl, who I think was probably in reception or maybe even younger, said to me with a big smile on her face, I was expecting her to say toys or whatever, she said, "We can share our love." She was 5. We can share our love. She hit the nail on the head, didn't she? What a fantastic answer. And we love because God has first loved us. And what about that amazing truth, that fantastic story, that the most incredible thing of all that God shared was his son, and that Christ gave his life for us. And because he has loved us, we can love others. And surely part of loving is being generous, isn't it? And giving to God, first and foremost, with our worship, with our time, with our money, and also generous to those around us. So I think the lesson for us, although it's a hard one, is to acknowledge that actually we don't really own anything, that it all comes from God. And if you know that first story about the two men, you know that with some relish, my punchline is, of course, that they are all God's donuts. Let's just bow our heads for a second and see if we can just sit really quietly while I pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much for everything that you have given us, and most of all, for the gift of Jesus. And Lord, help us to be really generous, not only with our possessions, but with our time, and by showing love, your love, to the people around us. Help us to do this, Jesus, because it's really hard sometimes. In your name we pray. Amen.